Welcome to Life Community Church. We are a lively, growing church in the heart of Royal Leamington Spa. We trust that this message will encourage you and help you to live a life full of purpose as God intended.
Okay, good morning everybody. It's great to be here this morning. So as Leanne has said, that we are going through Summer in the Psalms, and I'm going to bring to you one of my favourites, which is Psalm 139. It is a long one, so I will try my best to get through it. But we're going to start off, and I'm going to ask Gabrielle and Sophia, they're going to read it out.
Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too powerful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The light will shine like the day, for darkness is a light to you.
For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's body. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be.
Thank you, girls. Fantastic. So, to me, as I read this psalm, I think of this as David worshipping God in awe and wonder. Now, I know there's different people have different views about what kind of mood David was in when he was writing this, but I like to think that he's having one of those wow moments. Do you ever get those wow moments? Maybe like when you see an amazing sunset, or you're looking at the mountains, or you're holding a newborn baby and you're just like, wow, that's incredible. And I think the more times we can have worshipping like God like that, with that pure wowness, the better. And as we read this psalm, I want you to remember that David, he didn't have a cushy, super cushy life. He was a king, but he had encountered trouble in his life. So he, as a teenager, he fought Goliath. And then as he grew up, he became the king. And he obviously had lots of enemies around him. It was difficult. But also, David was an enemy to himself. He was a murderer, he was an adulterer, and he disobeyed God as well. So it wasn't all floating around on a cloud and able to worship God like this all the time. But throughout the Psalms, we see his honesty and his authenticity. And God, he always goes to God to plead for forgiveness. And he just seeks after God's own heart. And that is what's so great about these Psalms. So Psalm 139, it's split into three parts mainly. Part one talks about that God is omniscient, which means God is all-knowing. Part two is that God is omnipresent, which means God is everywhere. And the third part shows us that God is omnipotent, God is all-powerful. And these words refer to the attributes of God and only God and alone. They're just unique to him. There's nobody else, there's no being that can be everywhere, all-powerful, all-knowing, all at the same time. So God is just incredible. So we're going to look at verses 1 to 6 together. And the first thing that we see is that God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. But God knows you. Tell your partner, God knows you. Fantastic. Are we ready to read this together? After three. 1, 2, 3. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. So God knows everything. He knows everything good, bad, everything in between, everything that's going on in the world. In Psalm 147, it even says that God made the stars, put them in the sky, and called them by name. Like, God is just amazing. Did you know that there are 8.3 billion people on this planet, and God knows every single one of us inside out? Incredible. God, the creator of the universe, the Father, he knows us, his children, personally. He knows us intimately. And God knows what we're going to do next week. He knows what we're going to do tomorrow before you've even planned it. He knows what our thought processes are. He knows what we're going to say before we say it. He knows what we're going to think before we think it. And we might think that we know our children well, or our spouse well, or our parents well, but there's nobody else that could know each other than God. God knows us even more than that. And that's quite comforting, isn't it? Because sometimes we can get to a point where we're like, ah, nobody gets it, nobody understands. I feel alone, like nobody gets it. But actually, yeah, God does get it. Yeah. God does understand because he knows you. And you never have to be alone in that. God knows your desires, and God has been listening to those prayers that you might have been praying for years on end, and it feels like nothing's ever happening. But God knows your needs, and he will meet you there, and he will provide. When God called Moses to go and set the people free from Egypt, he said, I can't do it. I'm not very good at speaking to people. And God was like, I know. I've already set up a helper called Aaron, and he's going to help you speak to the people. Okay, if you think about Elijah, he was escaping from Queen Jezebel, and he went and he sat down, and he was so mentally exhausted, so physically exhausted, he asked God to let him die there. But God knew. God knew that he hadn't had a rest. God knew that he was exhausted. So God provided some cake. What a good God. He provided cake for him so he could eat. And he gave him a really good sleep, and he gave him loads of strength to carry on his journey. So whatever your need is today, God knows it, and he will provide you for you and meet you at your deepest need. In verse 5, it says, you hem me in behind and before. And this Hebrew word for hem is tesur, which means it's a military term meaning to enclose or encircle. So you might enclose the enemy, but here it's used in a positive, and it talks of how God's love encloses us. It surrounds us, it encircles us, that we are tight, we are secure in God's love. And my question to you today is, God knows you, but how well do you know him? If you're thinking, yeah, I know him really well, that's great, keep on pursuing him, keep on following after him. But if you want to know him even more, then just spend more time. Read your Bible, go for a walk, speak to him, grab somebody after church and say, can I ask you some questions about this? Sit in silence and just ask God to speak to you. Yeah. It takes effort. Relationships take work. You know, if you're making a new friend or you're in a new relationship, the more we will experience his goodness in Let's read the next few verses from verse 7 after 3. 1, 2, 3. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So here, David reminds us that God is everywhere. If we go up to the heavens, he's there. If we go to the far sides of the sea, he is there. If we went to the furthest part of the world where we thought that Jesus' name would never be heard, God is there. He is every place that you go. And when you think about any situations in your life where you might have felt God might not have been there, you know, like when I was a child, I had some difficult times, and I probably thought God's not here, but looking back on it now, I can go, wow, God was there. God was with me, and he kept me safe. And I've sometimes encountered God in different parts of the world when I've been on my own or when I've been with different people in new situations. And when Joshua was about to lead the Israelites into the promised land, he said, "Be strong and courageous, for I am with you wherever you go." God was with Joseph in the prison cell when his brothers had abandoned him. God was with Paul in the shipwreck. He was with Daniel in the lion's den, and he kept him safe so that he wasn't eaten alive. And God was with Jesus, his son, in that moment when he was in pain and sorrow and he was clinging to that cross. God was with him, and God crowned him with everlasting life. So children and teens in particular, I want you to remember God is with you wherever you go. He's with you at school in September. He's with you at nursery. He's with you. Some of the lads are going off to uni in September, and you're probably not going to know anybody, but God is going to be with you there, and he's going to meet you there. He's with us at work. He's with us in the hospital. He's with us in our conversations. So just be aware of what you're saying and what you're thinking, because God is there too. And what we're watching, what we're listening to, God is there. And it's incredible. I was out with a colleague at a works do a few weeks ago, and we were in a games venue, and all of a sudden I ended up sharing the gospel with one of my colleagues whilst playing darts. And I didn't see it coming at all. And I drove home. I was like, wow, God, that's amazing. That's so cool. I didn't see that coming. And God just shows up. And in verse 10, one of my favorite lines, it says, "If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." And this word fast, coming from the word fasten, meaning tightly or securely. And I love this imagery of God holding our hands. So if you think about a parent with a child, maybe when they're trying to cross the road, you're going to grab that child's hand really tightly and securely, and you'll have confidence and comfort knowing that you can feel their hand in yours. And when we fasten our seatbelts in the car, we are secure. We should have a peace of mind that if anything goes wrong, if you have to slam the brakes on, then we're still going to be seated, we're still going to be tight and secure. And when life throws unexpected situations at us, sometimes it might feel like we have to slam the brakes on. Then if we're with God, we might feel anxious, we might feel confused, but God is holding us tightly. He's holding us securely and safely. And he is your safe comfort, and he will guide you through whatever that is. Yet, when a child doesn't want to hold your hand, they'll let go and they'll run off. I have a friend whose little boy does that, and it gives me the terrors when he does that. But he runs off and goes his own way. And sometimes when those situations come that are a bit uncomfortable, we have to make that decision. Are we going to keep holding God's hand, or are we just going to let go? And are we going to go off on our own way and do it independently? And if you've ever been without God in your life, you'll know that it's not always a good place, and it's much better when you are holding God's hand. So even if you do let go of his hand and you want to do your own thing, that's fine. But God loves you so much that he is there waiting for you to come back, and he will pursue you because he wants you to be in relationship with him. So God is everywhere and he's with you. You still with me, church?
Yes.
Right. Okay. Next verses then. The third section. This is good. God is omnipotent, which means all-powerful. And God is all-powerful, and he created you. Tell the person next to you, God is powerful, and he created you. So I want you to think for a moment about the power of God. If you need to shut your eyes when you do this, this is fine. But I want you to think about the splendor and grandeur and sovereignty of King Jesus. I want you to think about, in Revelation, when there's the vision of God with the throne of heaven, the elders, the living creatures, the angels, and they are praising God. They are declaring his power. They are saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, the one who was and is to come. The whole earth is full of your glory." Think of that power. Think of that day when you will bow before him and you will worship him there and you will experience his glory and his splendor and his power. Think of the power of God who said, let there be light, and there was. Think of God and the power who split the sea, the power of God who through Jesus healed a blind man, who through Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. Through Jesus, Jesus rose himself from the dead. And that same power made you. And that same power lives in you and works through you to do incredible things for God. So whenever you're feeling like, I can't do this, just remember the power of the Creator that you came from. And you will do incredible things. So as we read this next bit, I want you to remember that, how powerful God is. So the next verse, verse 13, after three, all together. One, two, three. For God, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's body. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days were ordained for me were written in your book before they came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. So God created you. Now, children, teenagers, listen up, some fun facts for you. Okay, fact number one about the human body is, did you know that when you are born, when babies are born, you have 300 bones, but by the time you're an adult, those bones fuse together to 600 bones. Did anyone know that? Cool fact. Okay, next fact. Did you know that the heart pumps your blood around your body? Hopefully you knew that. But it happens around 115,000 times a day. Pretty cool. Did you know that your nose is so powerful that it can recognize over 1 trillion different scents? Okay, so there you go. When you're at your next party, you've got three facts to share. But that is just incredible. And we're just talking about humans. We've not even started on creation and the animals and all of that yet. Okay, so God created your amazing body, but he also created your character, your temperament, your personality. He knows how you're wired. And Dave, can you just hold your phone up for us? Okay, so here's a phone. Now, if Dave has something wrong with his phone, he would probably go to somebody who knows. Okay, you might say he goes to the manufacturer or the creator. Okay, so when you are maybe confused about something, maybe you have those times where you might have said something or done something, go, well, why did I say that? Like, oh, where's that come from? Okay, ask your creator. Go back to God because he wired you. He made you you. And that's happened a few times recently, and I've just gone back to God. I'm like, why did I say that? Where did that come from? And he's started to show me some different things about how I was made. So, I thought there'd be more children here today, so I put in a little kiddie slot. But we've got two, so Seth and Jessie, do you want to come up the front for me? Let's give them a clap. Okay, come stand here. Okay, Jessie, you hold that. So everyone can see. Whoa, lovely chocolate sweets, M&Ms, okay? Now, Zephaniah, if we look at this, are they all the same color or are they different? Say it nice and loud. Different colors, yeah? Yeah, well done. So they're all different colors, okay? Now, if we open them up inside, do you think they will be the same colors or different inside? What do you think? What do you think, guys?
Same.
Okay, so here's one I cut open earlier. Can you hold one of these up for me, Jessie? Okay, just hold it up. There we go. Hold that up high. Woo! Okay, so they're all cut up into halves, and you can see that inside, what color are they, Zeph? does not make mistakes, and he sees you as beautiful. You are uniquely made, and you are a promise from him. So never, ever forget how special you are. And if we look on the front of the M&Ms, what letter is that? M. There's an M. The M&Ms have been stamped, they've been marked with the name of the chocolate. Okay? And in Isaiah, God says this, "See, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand." God has got your name on his hand. How cool is that? That's how much he loves you. Okay? So just remember that if you're ever not feeling special enough, just remember that God's got your name on his hand. Fantastic. Let's give these boys a clap. You can go now. Thank you. I'll give you some of those sweets afterwards. Yes. Fantastic. So, the next bit says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God has a plan for you. Tell somebody, God has a plan for you. So God planned every single chapter of your life. He knew when you were going to get that job. He knew when you were going to have that child or got married. He knew when you were going to buy that house. And he's still working those plans into motion as well. So if you're praying and if you're waiting on those things, keep praying, because God's at work in those plans right now. He might be putting something in place or somebody in place for you where those plans are going to work together. And if you are trusting God right now, if you're seeking him, if you're obeying him, then you don't need to worry, because God knows you, he's got your plan, and he's got you in the place where you exactly need to be right now. God has so many great plans for us, but our main purpose is that you were made to worship. You were made to worship. In Ephesians, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do good things that he planned for us long ago." So God has created you in his power, and he has good plans for you. Where David asked God to deliver him from his enemies. It takes a little bit of a turn here, but this is all about David's authentic relationship with God. So here he refers to those people who rage against God, who hate God. He's saying that he doesn't want the evil influences around him. You know, sometimes we can brush off from those people that we shouldn't probably be spending so much time with. It can start to affect us. He highlights how people can take the Lord's name in vain. Now, I don't know about you, but this has really been grated on me recently, particularly in the workplace. I have to tell people off, and now they go, "Oh, sorry, Catherine," which I never thought I'd be that person, but I'm now that person. They apologize to me. But it's really been offending me, and I have had to tell them, it really offends me. I'm really sorry. But you see, the closer we get to God, the more we start getting offended by the things that God hates as well. And that starts to shape us. And we just need to stand up for the things of God. But we need to do it like Jesus, in love. In love. So we come to the end, which is using the same word as where we started, with the word search. And verse 23, should we say this all together? 1, 2, 3. "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." So here, David prays a prayer of holiness, a desire to be more like God. And this is actually a really great prayer for all of us to pray. And if you're ever struggling about what to pray, just get Psalms 139 out and make it into a prayer, and that would be really, really powerful. But ask God to shape you. Ask him to search your heart. Maybe do it once a week. Do it every day. Do it once a month. Ask him to sit down. Just sit down with him and ask him to show you what's going right, what's going wrong, what could you be doing better, what things do you need to give up on, what things do you need to stop doing, what things are becoming a bad habit. And just desire that holiness, and God will bring out the fruit of peace and love and joy and goodness and faithfulness from you. Let's desire to be holy. So, in wrapping up, trust him because he knows you. He is powerful. He created you and has great plans for you. He is with you wherever you go. And the way everlasting in the last verse. That, of course, is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if you don't know Jesus here today, you don't know him well or at all, then I want to tell you that Jesus is the one that died for your sin. He hung on the cross and he forgave you when he died. He took all of his sin, all of your sin on himself so that you could live in freedom and that you could have a relationship with him. He rose from the grave to give you life and to give you eternal life for you, and his love will never, ever end. In the scripture it says, see, I have loved you with an everlasting love. So if you're sat in this room today and you don't know Jesus, then I'm going to give us the opportunity to do that. And we're just going to say a prayer. So I'm just going to give us just 5 seconds. Just maybe everybody can just shut their eyes, put their heads down. And if that's for you, if you can just raise your hand if you want to give your life to Jesus today. Fantastic. So let's say this prayer together after three. 1, 2, 3. Dear God, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die for my sins. I believe he died, was buried, and rose again. I repent of my sins and receive your forgiveness. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Today, I hand control of my life over to you and decide to live for you. Please help my life to make a difference. Amen.